Welcome to this talk about error logging with Umbraco and Elmer.io. I'll start by telling you a bit about myself. I have a couple of slides that I'll start with, and I'll switch to Visual Studio and show you some code. So who am I? My name is Thomas Ardal. I'm an independent software consultant and entrepreneur. I'm the founder of the company that we're going to talk about today called Elmer.io. I also founded a couple of other products and services and open source projects related to .NET. Privately, I'm like Umbraco, I'm from Denmark, so that's the reason for the weird accent. I have a wife and two small kids waiting for me at home. And then I work primarily from home, so all of the work, or pretty much all of the work done on Elmer.io, as well as the work I'm doing for external customers, is done from my home office. So that's nice to sit around in your underwear the entire day. And then I don't know much about Umbraco, so I may be the one who knows the least about Umbraco in this room. So I'm here to learn as well today. I believe something about websites and website logging and so on, so I might be able to give you some tips and tricks as well. So let's get started talking about website errors. So what is website errors? Well, website errors is when something fails on your website, right? So that can be an Umbraco site or another type of website. And we normally group these website errors into two different categories: the client-side generated errors and the server-side generated errors. So the client-side generated errors, I'm not talking about JavaScript errors and so on here. I'm talking about actual server-side errors. But these kind of errors are caused by the client. So examples of this could be the not found exception. You probably know that. So the client tries to request a resource on the server that doesn't exist. So it's actually the client that's responsible for this type of error. In the HTTP specification, we have different status codes indicating which error this is, and all the client-side generated errors is marked by a status code in the 400 series, so from 400 to 499. The other category is the server-side generated errors, and these types of errors is the one you caused. So if you lose connection to your database or something, or you wrote some invalid Razor code or anything, this will throw a server-side generated error, and we have the status codes as well to identify these errors. So these are in the range in the 500 series. So according to Pingdom, the internal server error. Oh. Yeah. So according to Pingdom, the internal server error marked with the status code of 500 is actually the most common type of exception on websites on the web today. And the second most common is the not found exception. I actually thought it was the other way around, but. So why is it important to monitor errors? Whether or not an error occurs on the web server, whether or not it's a client-side generated error or a server-side generated error, the user always experiences the error as your fault, right? So studies show that if you have errors on your website, your users will actually bounce off your website and maybe go to your competitor instead. So imagine a setup where you have where you're selling some kind of products on your website, and you have a bug in your checkout flow. So while you have this bug, you don't earn any money, and users quickly switch to something else and buy their products elsewhere. So monitoring errors is actually quite important. Also, if you're not selling products, but having website errors, at least that's my opinion, sends an unprofessional signal to your users. And what happens is that users talk badly about you on social media and to their friends and so on. So it's pretty important. So since we're talking Umbraco today, let's talk about how well Umbraco actually handles and logs errors. Well, pretty well, or very well, actually. Umbraco based all its logging on Log4Net, as you may know. Log4Net is this logging framework that have existed for multiple years now for .NET applications. And it offers different features and can log to different data stores like a database or the event log or files or something. And besides actually logging to Log4Net, Umbraco also supports different extension points. So I'll talk about that in a bit. But you can actually write some code and hook it up inside Umbraco, and your code will get called when errors occur inside Umbraco. So this is the handling part and the logging part. So Umbraco does that pretty well. So what about presenting these errors happening on your website? Not very well. Again, Umbraco is based on Log4Net. Log4Net is unstructured. It have no good visualization tools. At least I haven't been able to find anyone. And there's no built-in notification support. It has some simple mail notification support and so on, but it's very limited. So people in the Umbraco community have tried to do something about it by implementing different packages for Umbraco, different log visualizer packages. And I haven't tried them all, but I've tried enough to say that there's a long way between the really good packages. And still, these packages are based on data in Log4Net, so they only offer limited features for searching and visualizing and so on. So what are the alternatives for actually showing your errors? The first alternative is to use some kind of appender. I don't know how much you know about Log4Net, but Log4Net implements different appenders where you can actually log your data to different data stores. So there are appenders for a large range, of different data stores like Elasticsearch and RavenDB and MongoDB and so on. So you can actually put your log messages inside some sort of NoSQL database. So that's one approach. Then there's Elma. How many of you know Elma? Yeah, so that's half of you or something. So what about you guys that new Elma? Do you use it with your Umbraco site? How many of you use it? Okay. So Elma stands for Error Logging Modules and Handlers for ASP.NET. And Elma is an open source project like Log4Net, which actually hooks into the pipeline in ASP.NET. And it listens for all errors, all uncaught errors happening in your application. And it logs a lot of contextual stuff about these errors. So it's actually a pretty nice product, and I really recommend you to look at it. So the third alternative is actually to use something out there, a hosted solution. The one I'm going to talk about today is, of course, Elma.io, but there's different alternatives as well. So let's look at Log4Net. So I created a new project here. So it's just an empty ASP.NET project. And I installed the Umbraco NuGet packages inside here. So I hope the font is big enough for you to see it. But there's a couple of Umbraco CMS NuGet packages here. And in the config folder here, we have a file called log4net.config. So out of the box, Umbraco comes with the logging to the file system. So it logs everything logged through Log4Net on the file system with this rolling file appender. So let's try to start this. I'm curious, do you look inside your logs sometimes? Or is it only when users call you saying you have a bug? So we should be able to see that the application is starting now. So we are currently waiting for fonts, Google APIs. So this is a starter kit, right? So if we look inside inside our web application here, we have a folder called add data, and inside there there's the logs folder. So here we have the Umbraco trace log. So this file contains all the log that Umbraco sends to Log4Net, and Umbraco is quite generous with its logging. So you get a lot of information about what's going on inside Umbraco. So that's pretty nice. Let's try to see how this looks like when we have a website error. So I'll try to go to the back office application here. And inside the settings here, we have these partial views, which are razor codes. So I'll try to write some invalid C# code here in here forcing a website error. So I'll write two Fs here. So let's go back to our starter kit, and we should see that we actually get a website error now. So Visual Studio shows this error, and if we continue, we get the yellow screen of death, right? So this screen tells some information about what happened here. So if we look in our Log4Net files, we actually have this error down in the bottom here. So there's a stack trace that you may be able to see with this large font, and we have some information out here about the error happening here. So the name IFF does not exist. So we actually get information about these website errors inside our Log4Net files here. So I don't know about you, but I don't like log files. They're hard to search in. They take up a lot of disk space and so on. So I like to put my logging somewhere else. So as I told you, Log4Net supports different data stores. So I have one prepared here. So I created a new SQL Server database, and I ran the migration script that I found on Apache website for actually creating a table for our logging here. So let's try to add a new appender here. So I have a live template here. So this one is actually from the Apache website as well. So that's an ADONet appender. So this one logs all the log messages to a SQL Server instance. So all we need to do now is to tell Log4Net to use this appender. So you can log in multiple data stores with this. And let's try to start this again. And we should see that all our log messages are now sent to SQL Server as well. So now we have a better store for actually storing our log messages. And we can do some simple searches and so on inside SQL Server if you want. So if we go back to the slides, we have some pros and cons with this approach. So of course the pro is that this is free, Log4Net is free, and it comes built into Umbraco. So you have everything you need out of the box. And since Umbraco uses Log4Net for its internal logging, you have a lot of contextual information from Umbraco inside your logs. So the cons here, unless you're using file system, is that you need some place to store this. So you need a database of some kind, and that costs money, of course, to host and to get knowledge about. So when you have these data in your database, you have no real search capabilities, or at least very limited search capabilities. You have the SQL Server Management Studio in the case of SQL Server, and there's no good way to visualize or be notified about these kind of errors or these log messages. So let's look at Elma. And I hope that you all go home and implement Elma on your sites after seeing this. So back to our project here. So Elmer is like Log4Net, a free NuGet package that you install. So it's open source like Log4Net and have existed for multiple years and have a large community around it. So you can install it by installing this NuGet package called Elmer. So I should have this package cached. So we now get a new assembly inside our Umbraco project here. What this did was to modify our web config file as well. So if we look in the web config file, we now have a new section group here called Elmer, and we have a lot of Elmer configuration actually hooking into the ASP.NET pipeline here. So if we try to start our project again, we should get our error logged in Log4Net file and database. And we should also be able to see it in Elmer. So just takes a second to start again here. So we have the error here, and if you look in the log file, it should be there as well. So what Elmer is, or what Elmer comes with is a pretty nice UI that's available on the root of your URL here. Called elmer.axd. So this UI is provided by Elmer, and it actually shows all the errors you have on your website. So while Log4Net shows everything happening inside Umbraco, including the errors, this view actually only shows the website errors that you have on the website. And the default view here shows a list of all the errors happening. But you can actually go to the details and see some of the same information that we saw in Log4Net. So the nice thing about Elmer is that it actually logs a lot of contextual stuff about this request that caused this error. So if we scroll down to the bottom here, we can see all the server variables and the cookies and so on included in this request. So this will actually help us debug this bug. And also, we have a nice list of all the bugs we have in our system, right? So we can just take from the top and start fixing them. So this is pretty much Elmer. So again, pros and cons. It's free, open source, as I said. As you just saw, it's easily installed inside Umbraco. It's just installing a NuGet package and you have all the configuration you need. Unlike Log4Net, you have a lot of more information about what's going on here, and you have a simple UI. It's not awesome, but at least it's better than looking in SQL Server Management Studio. So the cons here, no search capabilities. Of course, you can use Elmer with SQL Server as well. So you can use SQL Server Management Studio to search your logs. And you have some limited notification support, but nothing really good, and no integration with Slack and HipChat and so on. So this leads me to Elmer.io. So this is the product that I founded together with another guy. So we are both working on other stuff as well. So we're trying to allocate as much time as we can on this. But what Elmer is that it's a website, of course, with an API, a REST API in front. So we can index errors for you. We have built the entire thing on top of the NoSQL database called Elasticsearch, if you know that. So Elasticsearch is this awesome full-text search server that actually is able to take large amount of data and index it and makes it searchable within a few milliseconds. So you probably tried to search in SQL Server with the like and the percentage signs around your queries and so on, and slowly died, right? Because when you have more than 1,000 rows in your database, it doesn't perform at all. So that's the cool thing about Elasticsearch, that it actually provides these features. So we index everything that we get through our API in Elasticsearch. And the other part we did was to write an error log implementation for Elmer. So an error log in Elmer is pretty much the same as an appender in log4net. So it's some code being notified by Elmer when an error occurred, and it logs all the error details to our API. So when we have this data in Elasticsearch, we can offer some advanced search capabilities. We have built some notification support around this. We have integration with the Visual Studio as well, so you can sit inside Visual Studio and browse through all your errors. And of course, we have a public API that you can utilize to do other things, and a lot of more features. So let's look at Elmer.io. So the way I install Elmer.io inside this project is like Elmer to install a new NuGet package. So normally you wouldn't need to install Elmer, the package that I just installed, in your project before installing Elmer.io, but I can do that. But it doesn't matter that I already have Elmer inside here. So can you see it down in this? You probably can't see it. So I'll write install package Elmer.io. So this is the package that if you're developing an ASP.NET or ASP.NET MVC website or something, this is the package that you want to install. But since we're having an Umbraco a website here, we have a special package for that. So I can install the elmer.io.umbraco package. And like the Elmer NuGet package, this one actually installs all the configuration and so on. And during the installation, we see this input log ID dialog here. So we need to tell Elmer.io which log this is. So let's try to go to the Elmer.io website here. So this is the front page of Elmer.io. And the idea here is that you sign in with your favorite social provider. And this is a dashboard. It's probably not optimized for church resolution here, but the dashboard is where you have all your logs. So a log is container is a container for log messages. So you would normally have a log per application or per environment or something. It's really up to you to decide how to use this. So what I can do is to create a new log here. So let's call this Umbraco. Let's make it orange. It's not the entirely correct orange here. And I can select a couple of settings here if I want an email every time a new error occurred, and a daily digest of all our emails. So let's try to click this new error email. And I'll save this. So now I have a small install. Install the wizard here or install the description. So all I need is to copy our log ID. So that's actually what the NuGet package asked us for here. So I'll input this log ID. And we should see that Elmer.io is now installed. So all the configuration needed and so on is now in our config files. So I'll just start by, we actually have an integration with log4net as well. I'll show that in a bit, but I'll just start without it. Oh. So let's go back to Elmer.io here. So this is the settings area. Here we set all the settings about the log, which users who's actually able to access this log. We have a rule engine able to send out mails and do HTTP requests and so on when errors occur. But the fun thing is inside the overview here. So this overview tab is sort of the helicopter view of your log. So this is where you go to check how your application is doing. So let's try to set auto refresh on this view, and we'll start our application again. And we should see that that this error happening on our website should start rolling into this view here. So we probably just need to hit continue inside Visual Studio. So if we're lucky and the Wi-Fi, oh, there it is. So So now we have an indication that something went wrong on our website, right? So we have a total of one log messages. We have one critical message here. It also shows which browsers is affected. So at the moment, it shows data from the last day. So you can configure this. So only Chrome browsers were affected the last day. So down here, we have a timeline, and we have some different information. So it doesn't look this that good in this resolution, but it's okay. So we actually have a recent error here. So if we click this, we see a sort of the same view as we saw inside the Elmer UI. So we have information about the error happening in the browser and the OS and so on. We have the stack trace down here. And then we also have these additional information from Elmer about the cookies and server variables. We can search for HTTP user agent or something. So we can quickly get a view of this error. So this is the overview. We actually have this search view as well. It's not easy to see here, but this is sort of the same as in the Elmer UI. So this is the list of errors. But unlike the Elmer UI, we actually have search capabilities in here. So we have full text search capabilities. We can do dates, range filters. We can group our errors and so on. And we can also extend our error details here and see the same information that we saw before. So this is pretty nice to have these search capabilities and these graphing capabilities on top of our Elmer logs. So what's really cool, at least in my opinion here, is that we also have an appender for Log4Net. And since Umbraco uses Log4Net, this fits like a glove with Elmer I/O as well. So if we try to to start this this project again, we should see that we now get some additional information inside our Elmer.io log here. So we now get a warning and so on. So we now get the exception happening in our system, and we also get information from Umbraco inside the same log. So that's pretty nice. So as default, this configuration that we add here is configured to use or to log warnings, errors, and fatal messages only. And that's because you have a limited amount of messages available in the plan you select on Elmer.io. And if you run with the debug or verbose logging enabled all the time, you'll quickly run out of space. But for the demo here, we can try to set this to, let's set it to info. And let's try to start the project again. And we should see that there's this nasty bar up here that causes me not to be able to see the tabs. But we should see if we enable the auto refresh here that we actually start getting information messages from Umbraco inside this view as well. So we can check what's going on inside Umbraco because we now get all the Log4Net messages. And of course, we can search these messages, so I can write full text searches and so on. Since Elmer.io is based on Elasticsearch, which again is based on Lucene, I can write so-called Lucene queries here. So I can say, show me all the messages with status code 500. So this shows a list of all the critical messages in our system. Yep. So, how did we actually do this? You already saw some of the configuration. We already had Elmer configured in our system. So out of the box, when you install Elmer, it uses the in-memory logger. So when you recycle your website or restart it, all the messages are gone. So you need to persist it somehow. So if we look inside I'll just stop this website. So if we look inside the web.config file here and search for the Elmer element here, we now have an error log element down here with the with our AirLog implementation for Elma. And the log ID that we inputted during install is present here as well. So that's the first thing, and that's to get all these nice information about the errors happening in our system. So to get the Log4Net messages inside Elma.io, we extend this Log4Net config file with a new Elma IO appender, which is available in this Umbraco package as well. And of course, you can use all the Log4Net configuration that you may know for this. And you need to add it to root as well, but of course the installer do that automatically. So you saw the web config file here, and this is you probably can't see this, but this is an example of an appender, or the appender that we wrote for Log4Net. So it's actually pretty easy to implement an appender for Log4Net. You just need to append or extend the appender skeleton class, and you get a method called every time Log4Net tries to log something. So in this case, we just we have a small .NET client which wraps our API, and we just use that client to actually log these log messages in Elma IO as well. So the last thing we did, I didn't show you, but out of the box, Elma and Umbraco actually doesn't work that well together, because all the client-side generated errors are not actually logged in Elma. So it would be nice to get information in our log when clients try to request some resources that doesn't exist on our servers, right? Because it may be a URL that we actually wrote inside our code somewhere that tries to request something that doesn't exist. So in order to fix this in the elma.io.umbraco package, we actually use one of these extension points in Umbraco that I talked about. So Umbraco has this extension point called an interface called the iContent Finder. So I think I'll just try to zoom, and it will be a bit blurry. I hope you can see it here, but what we do here is that we actually register a new class that we call not found last chance finder. So that's just a name. The important part here is that we implement this interface called iContent Finder. And this one is called by Umbraco when it's trying to find content. And we actually have a request object here with some contextual information on it. And we can check, is this a 404, the not found exception? And if it is, we can actually use the Elma API. So this error signal from current context and so on, it's a .NET client delivered with Elma, not Elma IO. So if you don't want to use Elma.io, but just use Elma, you can actually use this code to get these not found exceptions logged in Elma as well. Elma.io is, of course, a commercial product. So we try to live by selling plans to people. But all our client-side code, all this, the error log implementation for Elma and the Log4Net appender, we have integration for other logging frameworks like Nlog and Serilog and so on. So all that code is open source. So you can check it in our GitHub organization. And also, again, this code, you can actually use this to get Elma working with your Umbraco side. So I don't have a lot of more features to show. I don't want it to be 45 minutes commercial for Elma.io. Of course, I hope you will consider buying it, but at least try out Elma on your website. Check it out and see if it works for you, and start monitoring errors on your website. I've talked to multiple customers, especially during the last year where I've been an external consultant, and a lot of customers actually say, when I ask them, do you handle errors? How do you handle errors? Do you react on errors? Oh yeah, sure. We log everything. We have Log4Net log files and so on. And when I ask them, what do you do about the errors? Well, we look in our file when customers start calling, right? So I think it's not a smart approach, because you probably know that when you have a bug on a website, you'll get something like 1,000 visitors visiting your site before one of them actually calls your support line, right? People doesn't call you because you have bugs on your website. So with these tools, Log4Net, Elma, and Elma.io, you can actually monitor what's going on inside your website. So, of course, we're on Twitter and all sorts of social media. Check out our GitHub profile for some of the code, and also I blog on this URL. So, any questions? Yeah, we can take the question were, do I have an example of the notification supported? So I think we have, we have good time. So let's look at Elma.io here. So in the settings tab here, we have this this tab called rules. And here we can set up complex rules that matches the incoming errors. So we can actually say, send mail on critical or something, and say, again, we can do full text queries here, and we can do Lucene queries. So we can type status code equals 500 or something. And then we have this then link, and we have a range of options here. So we can tell Elma.io to ignore the errors if it's got the status code of 500. We probably don't want to do that. We can hide the error. We can send an email, and we can make a HTTP request. So we have examples on our documentation side on how to integrate with Slack and HipChat, for instance. And we also integrate with Zapier. Is it called Zapier or Zapier? I can't figure it out. Do you know it, Zapier? The Zapier is a nice service. It's sort of like that service that have existed for a number of years now, called If This Then That. So Zapier actually is able to integrate a lot of different systems just by clicking with the mouse. So we actually integrate with Zapier. So you can integrate with all the system that Zapier supports through Elma.io. So that's pretty nice. And also, I can try to. I checked the check mark about the new error email during install. So I should actually have received a new email in my inbox here. Yeah. So here we have three emails. So I get all the details about this error happening on my website inside my mailbox as well. So I don't need to go to Elma.io to see this information. And again, we have the daily digest mail where you get a nice graph telling you what happened during the last 24 hours. So these are some of the features that you get in return by paying for Elma.io. Other questions? Yeah.
Let's say in this small space of time, you've got maybe 500 errors. They're all the same. Are you going to get spammed, or could be clever enough to just give you one?
Yeah, you actually, the question were, do you get spammed? If you suddenly have a million website errors, do you get a million emails or something? So you can actually set up the system to get 100 million emails if you want to. So in the rules tab, if you say on everything, send an email, it will send an email on everything. But if you check the check mark during the creation of the log saying new error email, it's actually intelligent enough to only send you emails when new errors occurred. So this is it looks at the message and the severity and so on to judge if it's a new error or not. But of course in the daily digest, you get a graph, and if you had a million website errors, you have a graph going to a million, right, on the one axis. But you don't get all the information about all the million errors inside. You get a line saying you had a million website errors looking like this. Was a question over here?
Was it still you still get these /elma.ax?
Yeah, sure. So the question is, does the Elma UI, the native UI located on elma.axd, does it still work? Yeah, it does, because the error log implementation that we did for Elma actually implements three different methods: get a single error, get a list of errors, and post an error. So as long as we implement these three methods, the Elma UI works out of the box as well. So it uses our API as well. It has methods for actually both not searching but getting a list of errors and a single error, all the information there.
Does that method work on a cluster service, or is that going to be a problem?
If it works on clusters?
Yeah, so the AXD interface, is that going to work on a multiple servers? Is that just giving you a random select of errors for the one server you happen to hit?
Yeah. Yeah, since the Elma UI, yeah, the question is, does it work on clusters? So when I request the Elma AXD, I'll get different web servers every time, depending on how you load balance this. So since the Elma UI uses our error log that calls our API, it doesn't matter which server you're actually hitting. It just gets the information from our API. But of course, you don't want the Elma.axd in production, right? So there's some security settings to actually disable that in production, and you should do that because Elma error log is a delicate thing, right? So you don't want to publish your information about your internals to your customers. So it will only work localhost unless you configure it. But then you have the Elma IO where you can go and search all the errors, right? So that's actually a problem with Elma, I think. I've used Elma a lot in the past. But when you go to production, you don't longer have the Elma AXD UI available, so you need to configure that with different roles and users and so on. So you don't need to do that on when using Elma.io. You can just disable it entirely in production. With your errors? Yeah, that's a good question. So the question was, if Elma.io goes down, where will your errors go? So we have some different options for actually handle this. The code that we built, the error log, actually contains some .NET events. So you can hook up to these events and get a notification when communicating with Elma.io actually fails. What we have already implemented in a pre-release actually of our Elma.io client is that it buffers the errors locally in files in the file system in the app data folder, and when Elma.io is back up, it starts processing these errors. But it's not in the stable version, right? But you have some different options to actually identify when this happens. Luckily, we have around 99.9 uptime on our API. We do a lot to keep that up. It's way more important that our API is working than the website is actually working. So we try to do a lot and have done a lot in order to do that. So we use Windows Azure to host this. So we have multiple web servers and so on. And we're looking into making geo replication as well to make sure that our API is always up.
So what are the performance implications for high traffic sites when using Elma.io?
The performance what?
Implications, so comparing to using a file.
Yeah. So the question is, does your system perform poorly when you hook this up to Elma.io? It will take time to communicate with our API, and what if our API is down? What will happen to your website? So we actually implemented this async features in .NET, so it will async log the errors to Elma.io. Also, we have some retries, of course, and a small timeout. So we assume that the Elma API answers in a matter of a few milliseconds. So if we didn't have any timeout, it would use the default timeout, which is something like 60 seconds or something, and it would cause your application to hang. So we won't do that.